Are we ready?
Ready.
Good afternoon. I'm opening the Senate Committee on Redistricting for today, April 16th, 2011.
Open the House Committee for the same dates.
So welcome, everyone. We are the Senate and House Redistricting Committees. I want to thank Lynn Benton Community College for hosting us today. And I believe we have John McCarroll? Okay, small writing. My apologies to come up and say a few words. Thank you for being here, and thank you for hosting us.
Good afternoon, chairs, members of the committee. I'm John McCardle, Director of Development and Government Affairs. I'm filling in for our president, Greg Heyman, who's out of town today. I want to thank you for being here. We are very happy that you're able to come to Lynn Benton Community College. We are all about community here, and we have 26,000-plus students, and we've had a 30% increase in the last couple of years. We offer 80 different certificates and degrees. So we are very, very busy. And thank you for looking closely when you get to Ways and Means at our activities. And we hope you will be friendly.
I thought that was appropriate.
So let me tell you the more important part of things. Men's restroom is that way. Women's restroom is that way. Thank you very much for being here, and good luck with your efforts today.
Thank you so much for your comments. We were saying on the way in that this has given us an opportunity to see many of the community colleges around the state, and it's been a great opportunity. So thank you again for hosting us. Appreciate that. I'm going to start by having the members of the committees introduce themselves. We also have a couple of members here who represent districts near or in where we are, and we'll have them introduce themselves as well. But let's start with we'll just start over here. Representative Springer is joining us today. You want to start by introducing?
Hi, I'm Sherry Springer, State Representative from House District 17. So I see some local folks here. Lebanon, Sweet Home, Waterloo, Scios, Staten, Sublimity, Gates, Mill City, Lyons, Detroit, and up to Idana and all points in between and all the trees. And it's great to be here, which is home.
Thanks, Representative. Senator
Beyer? I'm Lee Beyer. I represent Senate District 6, which goes up against the edge of the Representative's district here. It goes from Highway 34 up here in Linn County, all the way down to Cresswell, south side of Eugene. Includes Springfield, a little portion of Eugene, Cresswell, the Pleasant Hill, part of the Pleasant Hill area, part of the McKenzie drainage, part of Mohawk, Brownsville, Coburg. That's about it.
And good afternoon. I'm Floyd Przonski. I'm also in the State Senate, District 4. District 4 takes in large parts of Lane County and Douglas counties.
And I'm Senator Suzanne Bonamici. I represent Senate District 17, which is in Washington County, the eastern part of Washington County, and the western part of Multnomah County in northwest Portland. Thank you for being here.
I'm Chris Garrett. I represent House District 38, which includes Lake Oswego and part of southwest Portland.
Good afternoon. State Representative Kevin Cameron, representing House District 19, which is South Salem, East Rural Salem, Almsville, and Turner.
I'm Tobias Reed, State Representative for District 27, which is primarily Beaverton, some parts of unincorporated Washington and Multnomah counties.
Sal Esquivel, Representative District 6, Medford.
I'm State Representative Paul Holvey. I represent South Eugene going west to Veneta, Notai, Crow, and Lorain.
And I'm Representative Sarah Gelser, House District 16, right here in Corvallis and Philomath.
Thank you for the introductions, and I also want to take just a minute to acknowledge our staff, who has done such a wonderful job of arranging all of the logistics for the hearings. And I actually want the staff to introduce themselves, because they've done such a tremendous job, and I really want to acknowledge their work. So, Erin, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Erin Feiler. I am the redistricting coordinator for the Legislative Assembly for this session, and I also work on Senate rules. It's been our pleasure. We've had a great time as well. We've seen places and never been to in Oregon, so it's been quite an adventure. So thank you very much.
Thanks. Cynthia?
I'm Cynthia Scott, committee assistant.
Oh, and Mike and Seth are up there, so they won't be recorded, but Seth Allen and Mike Riley, and our committee administrator, Lori Brocker. Our staff has really done a tremendous job. We're at the tail end of our field hearings. And Shauna Newell, who's over there by the door, too, as well. This is sort of the tail end of the trips that we've done around the state. There's been a tremendous amount of work put into arranging all of these, having materials ready, accommodations, and they've gone very smoothly, and I just want to publicly acknowledge the staff for the great job that they've done. So I want to talk a little bit about the logistics of today. As you came in, you were provided a handout that had some sample questions, population statistics for the local legislative districts, and maps of the nearby districts. And what we've been hearing from a lot of people and what we're interested in is what are communities of interest. And I'll tell you that on the handout that you have, this discusses the criteria that's in the Oregon law that we follow when we do this redistricting process, which, as you know, happens every 10 years when we get the census numbers to balance out the population among both the congressional and the state legislative districts. So according to our Oregon law, each district, as nearly as practicable, shall be contiguous, of equal population, utilize existing geographic or political boundaries, not divide communities of common interest, and be connected by transportation links. We also have a requirement here in Oregon that no district shall be drawn for the purpose of favoring any political party, incumbent legislator, or other person. No district shall be drawn for the purpose of diluting the voting strength of any language or ethnic minority group. And the final requirement here is that two state House representative districts need to be nested within a Senate district. So those are our requirements. And when I got to the part about not dividing communities of common interest, that is not defined in our Oregon law. And so what we've been asking people to talk about is, what is a community of interest? Where does it make sense to keep communities together? Not dividing communities of common interest is a requirement, but we do need to draw lines. So where does it make sense to draw the lines? So as you come up to testify and talk about those issues, if you have written testimony, please hand it to Aaron, who's over here on the side. If you would like to submit written testimony after the hearing, if you didn't bring any with you today but would like to submit testimony, on the front page of your handout, there is an email address. If you lose the handout, it's very easy to find that by just Google Oregon State Legislature, and on the open homepage, there's a redistricting tab, and you can link to that there. So as you come forward, there's two seats here, so we'll be calling two people at a time. We are going to put a four-minute clock on. We found that it's really helpful to sort of limit the testimony so that we have plenty of time for questions, because that's where we really get some good dialogue. So we're going to limit the testimony to 4 minutes, and if you have written testimony, please, you don't need to read it. It will be in the record, and we will read it. If you just summarize your testimony, that will leave us time to really have a conversation about the testimony. So I want to begin with the first two people who signed in today, and that is former representative, I believe, Betsy Close, and Amanda Halama. I hope I said your name properly. Halama.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
While they're coming up, if I might, I'd like to recognize former Senator Cliff Crow, who we probably can learn something with. He was a member of the legislative committee who redistricted the state in 1981, the last time the legislature actually did it. So perhaps he'll mentor us.
Thank you. Welcome, Senator Crow. Welcome, and if you'll start with your name for the record, please.
Thank you. My name is Betsy Close. Welcome, Chair Bonamici and members of the committee. We appreciate your visit to Linn County. I understand this is your last hearing, so we're honored. And I appreciate the opportunity to give input into the reapportionment of legislative and congressional districts in Oregon. I represented Oregon House District 15 for 6 years, during which time the former redistricting plan was debated in the legislature in 2001. Though a bill was passed out of committee in the House of Representatives, a group of legislators blocked that bill from a vote by being absent from session for several weeks and denying the quorum. This action killed the legislation. Secretary of State Bradbury then wrote a redistricting plan in 15 days. 12 lawsuits were filed over this plan. One of these was from the Linn County Commissioners.
I've come today to acquaint you with the Linn County problems and with the former plan to encourage you to make every effort to follow the criteria for redistricting laid out, as the chair said, in ORS 188.010, that districts be contiguous of equal population, utilize existing geographic or political boundaries, not divide communities of common interest, and be connected by transportation links. One thing I'd like to say is I don't believe of those five criteria, one is deemed in the statute more of a priority than the other four. So I would hope you would consider them all equally and not just population. We have a division, contrary to an Oregon Supreme Court document, this statute is not merely made up of, quote, suggestions. That is what they said. This is law. We have a division of powers in our Oregon Constitution that the legislative branch shall pass law, not the executive or judiciary branches. So I hope you will hold tight to your power, your right, and your obligation to pass the redistricting plan according to statute. Linn County was one of 12 lawsuits filed in July of 2001. Prior to this time, under Secretary Kiesling's plan, 95% of Linn County was represented by one Oregon senator, the greatly loved and admired Mei Yi. The 2001 plan fragmented Linn County with four Senate districts, or some say three, thereby diluting the county's influence and therefore representation in the legislature. Senator Yi pointed out that the proposed Senate District 19, one of the many, would encompass both the city of Albany and the city of Corvallis, which is a university high-tech town at that time. Things have changed a little, I know. The city of Albany and Linn County were highly agricultural and manufacturing-based. A November 2000 editorial in the Albany Democrat Herald questioned, quote, if Linn and Benton counties are on the same planet. Today, the district stands as drawn, despite the lawsuit. I have included the picture and the Democrat Herald article from 2001 in your handout. You don't have the color copy, but if you look on the map there, you find that we have four Senate districts and four House districts that are included in our county. So that pretty much does neutralize and fragment our county. I believe this action was unjust, and I believe it violated the Oregon statute and limited the influence for Linn County in advocating for their crucial issues before the Oregon legislature. Having to try to contact three senators or four and several House members who represent several cities and have varying unshared interests in those cities on many issues is cumbersome and often futile. I ask you to consider the situation. Please remedy it in the next redistricting plan for 2011. Thank you so much for the time and effort you are putting into this legislation. I know it's difficult work, tedious. I know from experience how big this state is and how hard it is to travel all over it. So I thank you for that, and may you have wisdom and stamina to produce a fair and just plan.
Thank you for your testimony. We'll hear from both of you, and then we'll open it up for questions. Do you want to go ahead, please, and start with your name for the record. Thank you.
Chair Bonamici and members of the committee, my name is Amanda Holloman. I live in Corvallis, Oregon. My statement's kind of brief here, but I just wanted to speak to the point that I live in Corvallis and work in Albany at the Greater Albany Public Schools as a substitute teacher. And I just feel that there's a lot of people in that position where they live in one community and work in the other, and the way that we're tied together with transportation and public transportation, even on the highway bus system, that the communities do have close ties, and that when it comes to elected representation and delivery of government services, that it makes sense that the two are well served continuing sharing the Senate District 8. And I just have the experience of feeling that I belong kind of to both communities, especially in a position of working with children and parents, and kind of feeling that I have ties to both areas, and that they're both kind of part of an urban setting. So thank you for the opportunity to share that with you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your testimony. And we'll start with questions. Any questions?
Madam Chair.
Oh, Senator Przanski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Betsy, great to see you. Just want to clarify a couple of points. In your beginning of your testimony, you talked about a 2001 bill. It's my understanding from testimony we heard today that wasn't a bill but was a resolution that was put forward for redistricting.
That is correct. I assumed a resolution was a bill.
A resolution would actually preempt the governor from being able to have any, executive order on that if, as compared to a bill.
That is correct. I believe the statute, Senator Przanski, does not specifically say that the governor has to sign the plan.
All right. And then the last thing was your testimony today seems like you would like to see this committee actually reduce the number of representatives and or senators that actually represent Linn County. If that's the case, do you believe that there would be better representation with fewer votes that can actually support a position of Linn County as compared to having more supporting that position?
Senator Przanski, I do believe, based on my experience watching Senator Mayee, your colleague, I know you know her well, she was a champion for Linn County and very much appreciated. I guess there's two opinions on that, but yes, I think that would be better for Linn County.
Thank you.
Any other questions for this panel?
Thank you very much. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Holvey.
Thank you for coming. I appreciate you being here. I'm kind of curious, because I'm not all that familiar with this, but this college is called Linn Benton Community College. So do Linn and Benton counties sort of share some commonalities with each other that would lead to, I guess, the name of this college, for one? And I oftentimes hear it Linn Benton all the time. So I'm just kind of curious about any feedback about that you might have.
I ask you anything. Mm-hmm. Representative Holvey. Yes, Linn Benton is, I think, unique in that students can attend here and they can also have joint attendance at OSU. And so that was an effort, I believe, because Linn Benton was highly technical and more, you know, 2-degree oriented, and the 4-year is more professional. That was to serve this entire area better. And so it was in the, before I came in 76, it was already here. And it was doing a very good job then and is well known throughout the state for that joint tuition. You can take OSU classes with Linn Benton tuition. So it's very nice.
And for the record, that was Betsy Close. I just want to make sure that when there's more than one person, it's helpful if you say, it's awkward, but it's helpful if you say your name first before answering. Any other questions? Nope. Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we have Pat Malone and Art. Looks like Martinek. Sorry if I mispronounce your names. And while you're coming up, it's my understanding that we have a Benton County Commissioner. Linda, it looks like Modrell is here as well. Welcome. And also a Corvallis School Board Chair, Ann Schuster. So welcome to both of you. Welcome. And if one of you would like to start, let's start in the order that you signed up with Pat Malone.
Chair Bonamici and co-chairs Telfer and Garrett and members of the redistricting committee. My name is Pat Malone, and I live at 24048 Maxfield Creek Road in Philomath, Oregon. My wife and I own a tree farm in the Kings Valley area, which is in the northwest part of Benton County. I'm currently in House District 23, which takes quite a few square miles to get the correct number of people to form a house district. The situation creates a mostly rural district, which I believe fulfills the intent of forming a community of interest. In preparing to testify, I was thinking of how some of my business dealings and house district boundaries overlap. We do a fair amount of business within the district. We buy tractors and parts in Rickreall, hardware and plumbing in Dallas, and buy and sell Christmas trees in Philomath and Monroe for our wholesale Christmas tree business. So I'm hoping that you will make only the minimum changes necessary to get House District 23 to the required population numbers. And also, I'd like your committee to consider moving the coastal district inland, for example, House District 10. I think that would keep the mainly rural nature of both districts intact while helping to satisfy the population requirements. We have a strong connection to the coast, especially the Newport area. It's a great place to go for recreation and also have family in the area. And it currently takes us less than an hour to get to Newport, and with the coming improvements to Highway 20, it'll make getting there and back even easier and quicker. After the committee finishes redistricting and fixes the budget, I hope you can do something about the weather. It's supposed to be springtime.
We're on it.
We'll put that on our list.
Maybe a resolution or something.
Thank you so much, Mr. Malone. If you want to just hold on, we might have some questions for you.
Okay.
Next, is it Martinak?
Martinak. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I appreciate you coming to Lynn Benton Community College, and I know from my previous life, it's awful hard to get to enjoy your weekends, and so I appreciate you spending your weekends here. My name is Art Martinak, and I live at 330437 Mile Lane and Tangent. And if you look at your map, which is House District 11 and House District 15, I'm right on the spoke of a wheel on 7 Mile Lane, which bumps up against Highway 34. And I think I speak for the members of my community or the people that live on 7 Mile Lane as who are involved in their community as I am. And, you know, I've been on the Lynn County United Way, the president of the local Kiwanis Club, two terms on the Hamilton Creek School School Board. I'm presently on the Tangent Rural Fire District doing my second term. And I was a two-term Lynn County Sheriff and spent 35 years in law enforcement in this community. And all of a sudden, my representative, who's a nice guy, his office has always been open when I had a concern, but he's 40 miles away. And I'm only 6 miles from the county seat, from the courthouse, from where I live. And so mine's a personal, I'm here as a personal complaint. All of a sudden, one day I woke up and I'm not in the world that I used to be in, through all of my younger life and my growing up, my political life, I should say. And I know that you have to balance numbers, and numbers, you're going to have to do numbers in order to meet the statute and the burden that you've taken on here. But I really think you need to look at, you know, the communities where people go to school, where they work, where they shop, because those are important. And somehow we need to be able to get the numbers without shipping people off 40 miles to where the center of their representative world is. And I thank you for allowing me to testify, and I wish you luck on your endeavor.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for your testimony. Are there questions of this panel? I just wanted to make a comment, Mr. Martinak, about going 40 miles. We are actually not supposed to be considering where people live, and obviously because of having to balance the population, and we have to use the census numbers, which are where people are residing, there will be lots of people who are more than 40 miles away from their representative or their senator, especially in the districts where the population is sparse, like over in Eastern Oregon, for example.
Certainly.
So I wish we could have a plan where everybody could be within 40 miles of whomever's representing them, but we'd have to be like New Hampshire, where they have hundreds of representatives, I'm afraid.
But appreciate
your concern.
The issue is that, you know, it's 40 versus 6. Is there should be some way to bump out this district to get, you know, now I don't know where it's at, but some of Marcola or something closer to the Springfield area than to take somebody who's as close as I am to the Lynn County seat and draw that line where it's at. When actually, if you look at that, you know, just across I-5, I'd be in District 15. And so it's not, it's, you know, I'm on the end of a wagon spoke, and you couldn't have picked up, and in that neighborhood of mine, that you couldn't have picked up 15 people, you know, to get that amount of distance there. So that's my...
Appreciate your comments. Any questions? Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Marnak, would you say that you have more common interest with the people of Albany than you do with the people of downtown Eugene?
Well, certainly. The only time I go down there is when my wife drags me down to Valley River.
Okay. And Mr. Malone, a question for you, if I may, Madam Chair, to follow up.
Go ahead.
Mr. Malone, do you know where Cascade High School is?
Yes.
And Representative Springer and I have a district with students that go to Cascade High School. However, it is in House District 23. And you're live out where, you said?
Kings Valley area. I have a Philomath address.
Yeah. And Cascade High School is all the way on the other side of north, west, outside of, actually right outside of Almsville and Turner. And I'm wondering if you have anything in common with Cascade High School.
Our school districts, I've been there. I wander around a little bit finding it, but they're in the same league as Philomath for some sports, anyway, as of 8 or 10 years ago when my kids were on the track team. So we did get to Cascade High School.
Thank you.
And for the record, that was Pat Malone speaking. Representative Hulvey?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also have a question for Mr. Malone. I you made a comment about, I guess, your connection with the transportation route of Highway 20 with Newport in the Toledo area, and recognizing you're in the Kings Valley area, which I know there's a bit of timber associated with the Philomath area as well, and the same with Toledo as being sort of a forest products industry town. Do you see that as part of that connection, or is it just the highway itself that you feel like you are better connected with that side of the Coast Range?
This is Pat Malone. I definitely know people drive log trucks and are moving products over, especially wood chips and small logs over to the Toledo area. So there is a modest amount of connection between our area and the coast.
Thank you.
Other questions for this panel? Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, we have Ann Schuster and Catherine Thomason, please. Welcome to the committee. And Ann Schuster, would you like to start, please?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Bonamici, and members of the redistricting committee for allowing me an opportunity to testify. I'm advocating for the redistricting of a portion...
Your name for the record, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ann Schuster is my name. I'm testifying to advocate for the redistricting of a portion of House 20, District 23 into House District 16. This testimony is personal. I'm not representing the school board, but I am a member of the Corvallis School Board. I live, and it also is personal because I live in rural Benton County and have a Corvallis address. I am chair of the Corvallis School District and very active in the Corvallis community, so I have strong connections there. It would be personally advantageous to live in District 16, which covers most of Corvallis. And I know we're not supposed to advocate for personal issues, but I'd already written this, so. District 23, Representative Jim Thompson is my representative. He has a very large rural area to consider, as Mr. Malone described. It encompasses portions of five counties, and on his website he lists 10 towns from these counties. And Corvallis is not listed in as one of those 10 towns. He seems very stretched thin with the rural areas, and I think that's where his priorities are. It seems logical to include more of Corvallis into District 16, which is Representative Sarah Gelser's area, and she is more familiar with matters important to Corvallis residents. And she's very, Representative Gelser is very available to Corvallis residents. It's very easy to contact her and express any issues I might have with legislative bills or concerns. She's a former school board member. She, even though it may not be her who's in this seat eventually, but personally, she is a former school board member and really can advocate for the school district, and that's who I'm advocating for right now. The issues that happen in the Corvallis School District tend to be very different than those that happen in smaller towns, and to have District 16 cover a greater area of the Corvallis School District would be beneficial. So, and I included on my testimony a website to the Corvallis School District area boundaries.
Thank you for your testimony. Ms. Thompson?
Hi, my name is Catherine Thomason, for the record, and I am new to this area. Recently moved as of this morning to another part of House District 16, the very southern portion of it. So I'm advocating that all of Corvallis be included within the district as it now is. My mother, I have housed in a nursing home in Albany, and I feel the communities of interest between Corvallis and Albany are very great along the corridors of roads between the two. As well as the roads up into the area of Adair Village. I know that House District 16 needs to add some people, but the overall Senate District and therefore House District 15 has to lose some. So I'm advocating that the Corvallis-Albany area at large, in terms of those populations, really are a significant community of interest.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there questions of this panel? Any questions? Well, everyone's getting off easy today. Well, thank you very much for your testimony, and also thank you for your service on a school board. I know sometimes that's a thankless task that takes a lot of time, so thank you for your service.
People say it's thankless, but it really isn't.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. People thank you. And next we have Christine Ruck and Joe Rowletter. Population of Corvallis?
Pop quiz.
Now we can look it up.
Just ask the crowd.
Anybody know the population of Corvallis?
55,000.
Thank you. All right, we'll start with Christine Ruck, please.
My name is Christine Ruck. I'd like to thank everybody for being here. You got me out of my gardening with this rotten weather, but you gave me something else decent to do. I'm a 17-year resident on the south side of Lebanon, which is down in precinct 070. It abuts the city limits of Lebanon itself. I'm a homeowner, a business owner, previously a student, and a member of the adjunct faculty for LBCC teaching in the Lebanon Centers and the Sweet Home Centers. And I also served on the Master Transportation Planning Citizen Advisory Board for the City of Lebanon in 2000. When I started thinking about how to explain what redistricting would mean to the Lebanon area and my center of interest, the first thing I looked at was my zip code. The zip code is what really encompasses Lebanon and all its little unincorporated things outside the city limits. It's a huge portion of Linn County. 34,000 people are in that zip code. It represents nearly a third of the entire county in one zip code. And yet, as it stands right now, we are divided into three Senate districts and three House districts. So rather than having two representatives, we're going to scrounge around, look at the map to figure out where we are. That hasn't been a particularly useful thing for us. When I was working with transportation planning, the post office is probably one of the things that really has paid attention to what transportation is and is not. If they're going to spend money on a federal building, they're going to put it where people go and where they can get trucks to and from, and they can deliver your mail in a fairly contiguous area. It makes no sense to me to divide my zip code into three different pieces. All the transportation links in and out of Lebanon, all the trails, the urban growth boundary, all the LCDC regulations that have been imposed on the citizens of the area have to do with keeping Lebanon as a single community of interest. And I know that the distance to and from things isn't supposed to be a factor, but when I look at why I bother to drive into Lebanon, go to the post office, go to school, the aquatic district, the fire department, the library, the senior center, the unemployment offices, the campuses of Linn and Benton County, or the LBCC campuses there, the Lebanon Community Hospital, and in the very near future, the new medical school and the veterans home. Those things don't need to be divided because those are all within 5 miles of my house. That is a community of interest. That is the inventory of what needs to have common representation. If I want to hop on my bike, I can be in town in 10 minutes. I'm not going to get down to Springfield, which is the epicenter of the district. It would take me 45 minutes to drive there in the fastest possible route, and God knows how long it would take me to do it on a bike. I'd like to give you an easy way out politically, the greatest excuse in the book for doing the right thing, and that is, when you think about Miracle on 34th Street, you got a judge sitting there trying to decide whether or not he can declare that Santa Claus is real or lose his re-election because he's going to get all these business owners cheesed off because he's canceled Christmas. You have the Miracle on Highway 34. It runs right up and down here. You can use the post office as your best excuse. It worked in that movie, and it had a very happy ending. And if anybody wants to figure out how this works, just go back and read that again. All the answers are there, and very likely you won't be punished by voters for going that route. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr.
Rollator.
Rollator.
Senator Von Amici, members of the Joint Committee. My name's Joe Rollator. I live just east of Walport, which is in Senate District 10. I had intended to go to Coos Bay, another coastal community, but it was a nice day and I needed to ship some logs, so I worked that day instead of today. Our coastal communities are really not as closely tied to Highway 101 as they are to the east-west highways. As an example, I'm only 35 miles from Florence, but going to Florence is a trip. Corvallis and Philomath are 65 miles from where I live, but my neighbors and I come here to shop. My doctor is here. It just seems like our coastal communities are much more tied to the Philomath, Corvallis rural area than they would be if you somehow expanded us into Florence or into across Cascade Head into the Tillamook County. There's a wilderness area, a new marine reserve area between where we live and Florence, and there just isn't the connection to go that way. I hope that you would keep that in mind as you expand the geographic area of our House District 10. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And we were in Tillamook yesterday, and I asked a question about how long it takes to travel the length of 101, and I believe Senator Johnson said that during the summer you can actually walk faster on the tops of the cars than you can drive.
Yes, that's correct, Senator.
Questions for this panel? Senator Przanski.
Just a comment, Ms. Rock, and answer your question, about 2 hours for a bicycle from Lebanon to Springfield.
Not at my pace.
Senator Przanski would know that.
I'm assuming you've got a little more practice. I'm not even going to try it.
Questions? Anyone? Thank you for your testimony. We have Harriet Wagner and Jean Nelson, please. Welcome and good afternoon.
Thank you.
Harriet Wagner, will you please start?
Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Harriet Wagner, and I have submitted testimony by email, and it has an attachment with some maps on it. And I want to thank you for this public outreach and for having the redistricting equipment available in the Salem office. I recently made a trip there and used that equipment, and it was quite a fun and neat experience. I would encourage everybody who is really interested in redistricting to visit the Salem office and to explore what is available there with that. My testimony concerns a small cleanup in House District 16. And there may be others similar to this where there is an intrusion into contiguous districts by a third district or whatever the configuration may be. And I am encouraging your committee to consider cleaning those up early as part of your process here so that we do not have the continuation of those kinds of potential disconnects of communities. The intrusion is probably caused by a census block boundary. Mm-hmm. And although these census blocks are a necessary evil, they also create some unique boundaries. And I would just encourage you to perhaps look at that email that I sent to you. It's the example is in House District 16, and Sarah, it's kind of off of Reservoir over in this area over here. I'm sorry you can't see in the map, but it's
can right you there. Give us some verbal description of the area you're talking about so we've got the record?
On this map, it would be, so it's going to be in right in here.
Okay.
And if you could describe, it's hard to read the name of what's there.
Right.
If you could describe
the southwest corner of District 16.
The southwest corner of House District 16, I believe, is what you're pointing to. But
right. Okay. That would correct. That would be it, about the southwest And as I said, it's also kind of northwest of Reservoir. And I had, we had some technology issues. I had some technology issues with this. So part of it, I don't know if you can see this, there's this is House District 15, and this is House District 16. They're contiguous, but yet we have this little intrusion here by House District 23. Okay. So the interesting component is that this intrusion consists of two census blocks, not just one. I don't know if you can see this, the easterly part of that intrusion is a census block with 48, a population of 48, and probably could meet the criteria of being included in House District 16 as part of the community of interest. Now the westerly part of that intrusion, that little intrusion here, is part of a much larger census block that goes all the way over to the river west of Philomath, bounded on the south by Highway 20 and by the railroad kind of on the north and west. That census block has a population of 74, but the sad thing, the conundrum, I guess it is, if you would include this census block in House District 16, you would again make the same problem because it also has intrusions into House District 23. So I don't have a solution for that side, but I think for the easterly component, we could definitely do a little bit of a cleanup here and minimize that disconnection of that community.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, the time has expired, but we will, I'm sure, have some questions. And
okay.
We will let Jean Nelson do her testimony, and then we'll have questions. Welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chair and Chairman Bonamici. And, mm-hmm. and I appreciate being here with all of the panel that's here. I serve on the Benton County Commission for Children and Families and have for about a dozen years. Don't know the future of that right now. I know that things are kind of tenuous with that, but I have enjoyed my service there very much. I live in Benton County, just outside the city of Corvallis.
You can start by saying your name.
I'm sorry. I'm Jean Nelson. Mm-hmm. And I request that the legislature make a special effort this year to perform their responsibility of redistricting the state's 60 House districts and 30 Senate districts. It has been many years since the legislature carried out its prescribed duties, and having the courts get it by default has not served our state very well, I think. The 2001 redistricting to me was especially troublesome. Former Secretary of State Bill Bradbury violated the intent of some of the criteria set forth in the state statutes, and his plan, I think, does need a number of changes. I'm going to speak to just one today that I've been dealing with. My passion is honest, clean elections where voters can choose their candidates to truly represent the majority of the voters in their district. And I believe in the involvement of volunteer citizens who are willing to reach out to the voters and be an intermediary for various political parties, and precinct committee persons who go door to door as elected representatives of local political parties and meet the voters is a very positive thing in a representative form of government. The 2001 redistricting made the job of precinct volunteers twice as difficult in Corvallis because the congressional districts run through so many of the precincts and cut the precinct up so that we have two candidates for the congressional districts being running for office in one precinct, and our precinct committee people have a harder time covering their precincts accurately because of this. It is more confusing for the PCPs who are not trained in, they're not professional people. They get their name on the ballot and they're elected to serve. So I think we need to consider what's going to make it easier for those people who are trying to do the job of getting information out to the voters. The precinct boundaries in 2001, I felt were needlessly altered, and sometimes they cross major arterials. District 4 was changed so that it takes in now kind of an area where it kind of goes up and around, and it seemed like it looked to me like it was a gerrymandering thing, and I know that you folks don't want that to happen again. So I'd like to ask you to return the precincts to a more workable plan where we don't have divisions in the precincts anymore and volunteers can more easily cover their assigned areas.
Thank you for your testimony. And just for clarification, the legislature is assigned with the task of drawing boundaries for the state.
For the state, I know
House
they are.
House and Senate mm-hmm. and congressional districts, but the precinct boundaries are drawn by the counties. Is that correct?
We certainly don't do it.
We certainly don't do it, right.
Oh, you don't do it?
We don't draw the precinct
boundaries. Oh, okay. I'll talk to the county then, and I thank you very much.
Questions for this panel? Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Wigner, I'm trying to identify the spot you were talking about. If you look on the map in the handout, mm-hmm. is it that little place that's that white little circle where you have four dots that kind of come together just to the left of the number 16?
No. This is hard to describe in words here. It would be over on the west and north.
Right. Yeah, right. Right. I think it's right in that general area. And if I'm thinking of the same place, it's the reason why both the Philomath and the Corvallis School District have three representatives that have part of them. I believe that Representative Thompson, so District 23, District 15, and District 16 each have at least a smidgen of the Corvallis School District boundary and the Philomath School District boundary. House District 16 has the lion's share of both, but each have little pieces. And I believe that circle is the reason that 23 lands in the Corvallis School District in the area that Ms. Schuster talked about previously as well.
Okay.
Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Nelson, I want to make it, I think it was Ms. Nelson, right? Or maybe it was Ms. Widener? Was it Widener?
Widener.
Mm-hmm. Widener, thank you. Drawing little things. I want to make it really clear that we've heard a lot of references towards Bill Bradbury's plan, and I want to make it clear that this is this plan for us. And we could look at little individual districts and start trying to perform them, but when we look at the whole state of an increase of 400,000 people in the state, we're going to have to take a whole big new look at the whole thing. So appreciate when we're trying to look and make some little adjustments, but the districts could be totally different than what they look like today when we get done with this plan. I just wanted to make that point.
Other questions? Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll hear from like John Booker and Joe Ray Perkins, please.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Senator Bonamici. My name is John Booker. I'm from the Philomath area. I've been a resident of Philomath and Benton County and also in the city of Corvallis for over 20 years, 10 years each thing. I'm speaking in favor because of the budget, and I'm following a lot of the stuff that's going on, that are the decisions on budget and cutbacks, and we're having a levy that's coming up in Corvallis, which I'm not a resident of. I wish I could vote on it. But my concern is that I do a lot of my shopping and a lot of my things in the city of Corvallis, and that's where I do most of my business, and I have a post office box there, so I have a greater affiliation for the city of Corvallis. Philomath has an interesting thing. I was a person that did was running for a city council candidate, so I got to learn all about my city. And there are problems I have with Philomath, and that there is some fracturing. But I think that there is a very close tie-in with Corvallis, because I feel that there's going to be a lot of manufacturing on the west end of town. And I think that will bring in jobs, and that will bring in, as Bruce, the economy. So I do not want to see the district split up with Corvallis for that major reason. Also, the fact is that we do our major highway. We just had a restructuring, so our town has split now because of the couplet. So our business structure, we lost some businesses. So I rely heavily on the businesses in Corvallis right now. And so what I'm hoping is that we can keep the thing. I do. I'm here today. I was a student at Lynn Benton, and I did go to the Benton Center. So I can attest that there is a very great tie-in with the community college, as far as the three communities are. I would like to see the three communities linked together, because I think their economies are similar and their growth patterns are similar, and I think they have a very close tie-in with one another, both Philomath, Corvallis, and Albany, especially with the situation now with the budgets, and I think we're talking about working together in partnerships. I think the three communities have a lot to offer. And I would not want to see any of those three communities broken up. The way I look at the map right now, I feel that there are parts of out near Wren Village that should be included in Philomath area. That's the north part. I know that's, I believe, Senator Thompson's district. I think those people are considered close enough to where I live in the west end of town, the east end of town, that they should be included in the Philomath boundaries and added into Sarah's district. And I also feel that parts of Albany should be added in as well, because I think especially the city of Albany should be one conglomerate, unbroken up system. So that's my feelings on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Joe Ray Perkins, Senator Bonamici, and members of the committee. Appreciate you taking your time out. I know you all have extremely busy lives. My apologies, I had a printer problem. And so I will email to you what I put together.
Fine.
I'm going to talk about a couple of things. I'm going to do this off the top of my head, because that's usually how I operate. One of the things that I worked on, one of the things that I've been really concerned about, is the way that the state was redistricted into House districts for the congressional seats. So I put together some mapping, and I will email this in. But just to give you an idea, when I redid the entire state, what I ended up doing was flipping congressional district. Let's see, that was Greg Walden's. Is that three?
Two.
Thank you. Right now, he, on the south end of the state, comes across the mountains. I flipped it so that he's coming across the mountains up into Hood River and up into different recreational area. Took House District or Congressional District 4 all the way down to the California border, jumped the mountains a little bit just to pick up the population. Congressional District 5 includes Eugene, Corvallis, Salem, and picks up the majority of the coastline from Lane County north. And then Multnomah County stays almost the same, but does lose a little bit on the east, drops down a little bit to the south. And then Congressional District is that one, who's up here in the purple. it stays farther north instead of doing this interesting little drop down that I'm looking at in the red up there. Kind of give you the numbers. What ends up happening is Congressional District 1, you end up with a plus of 535 residents. District 2, negative 29 people. District 3, negative 71. District 4, negative 90. And District 5, negative 345. And that is within the deviation that I believe is required. Those are also broke up by commonalities. Eugene and Corvallis, university towns. Salem University Town with Willamette University. So there's some major commonalities there. The other areas are very rural, a lot of farming communities, various types of agriculture. So I will email this up. The other thing I want to mention real quick is I'm going to take a disagreement with a couple of the people that have testified in Albany and Corvallis being in the same State House District. I 100% disagree. That is, we've got two different types of communities here. Albany just hit 50,100 and some odd people, so we are considered a metropolitan area now, which is good, except for we are definitely more blue-collar, more agricultural-based versus the university, which is more technology-based. By the way, I am a student at Oregon State University, but I do not feel a part of Corvallis whatsoever, other than the fact that I go there to get my degree. Lynn Benton Community College, as a point of reference in the best of my recollection, years ago you had to live in the county to get that tuition. So Lynn and Benton counties, if you lived in Lynn or Benton County, you got the tuition for attending here. And then they stretched that to Lincoln County because they didn't have a community college over there. So it was split up by counties or by districts. So Clackamas Community College, you had a geographic area. I believe that's now changed. So if you live in the state, you get the same tuition no matter if you're a statewide resident. Lynn Benton Community College has campuses in, I believe, at the coast. I could be wrong, but in Corvallis, and of course here the main campus, and then also in Lebanon, and there's also Sweet Home Center. So there's not a, you can't say, well, gee, because we've got the community college here and we've got Oregon State University with dual enrollment, you can't say that's a really solid thing, because then we've also got Lebanon, et cetera. The other, that's now a pretty standard thing to have dual enrollment. Lane Community College has dual enrollment with U of O now. So that's pretty standard.
And Ms. Perkins, I'm sorry, but your time's expired, okay. So if you have just a closing comment.
I think that the panel would be remiss to put House District 15 and 16 together. You are at that point comprising 100 and some odd thousand people. Lynn County alone is roughly 110,000 people. Lynn County could support one Senate seat. Just about, and pulling a little bit of other without going and splitting all over the place.
Thank you for your testimony. Questions? Representative Garrett.
Thank you. If we were to split up Corvallis and Albany, where would you suggest that who should we match up with Corvallis to form a Senate district? Because as I look at the map, Corvallis is pretty well surrounded with rural areas, all of whom might say they don't necessarily have much in common with the city of Corvallis. At least Corvallis and Albany are two urban centers closely linked by transportation routes. So if we were to split those up, I'm just asking where you would suggest we do seek to pair up Corvallis with.
I would, if I was going to look at a map, I would start, Joe Ray Perkins, I would look at using Independence Highway off of Highway 20 as a boundary between Corvallis and Albany. Is one area that I would look at and take that northwards towards Monmouth area and then go to the west towards the coast, pick up Philomath, and go farther to the west.
Other questions? I wanted to point out, somebody else have a question? Representative Gelser, and then my comment.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. And this is a question for Ms. Perkins. On the issue of Corvallis and its commonality with the rural areas, do you think that there is any community of interest that is created by having the agricultural university in Corvallis with the veterinary center, the seed research center, and all of the programs that are serving the rural and agricultural areas in the surrounding counties?
Well, you could make that as a case, but then you also have the Hatfield Marine Science Center and NOAA over on the coast as well, which is directly linked to the university.
I wanted to make a comment about the congressional districts. We are required to balance the population. What's the standard, Representative Garrett? I believe
zero.
Zero. Yeah, pretty much zero. So we appreciate your efforts, and we hope you send them in. But the deviation is pretty high. With at least one of them was up 535, and one was down 345.
So. That's people. And the only reason is because the program that I was using, it wouldn't let me split a street.
I see.
So, yeah, okay. So
well,
I went.
We appreciate our challenge.
I got within, I figured, if you can get within 300 people or in one place, 29 people, I thought that's pretty darn close.
And that was, for the record, Joe Ray Perkins speaking.
Yes.
And also I wanted to make the comment, I know that 10 years ago, you mentioned something about the commonality of Oregon and Oregon State being in one congressional district, and I know that was one of the issues that was the subject of litigation 10 years ago, and they spent a significant amount of time talking about that issue, and I believe there was an argument made that it makes sense to have two congressional representatives representing our largest, I don't know, Portland State might not like this, but our primary state universities, Oregon and Oregon State, because they work on getting federal grants and federal money and that connection, and it's beneficial to have two people in Congress looking out for the interests of those universities rather than one voice. So I just putting that
yeah,
out.
Just a thought, but then Bend also has the Cascade Center for Oregon State University, so I think that's just kind of a hard, vast role anymore to hold on to.
Are there comments, questions? Senator Brzezinski.
This is for Joe Wright. Senator Bonamici was talking about what the federal and the congressional really no tolerance for population on the state side, as you were alluding to. There we do have a little bit more deviation in population that we can work with, but the feds, from what we've heard from the national and to say experts have addressed our committee, it's almost zero tolerance. Thanks.
Thank you.
Any other questions for this panel?
Madam Chair, I'm just not sure how much common interest the ducks and beavers really have.
I like you, Representative Holvey. I believe that if you go back, Representative Holvey, and review the testimony from the trial, you would hear our esteemed Senate President making similar comments. Record.
If I can make a comment, I am, as I said, I'm a student at Oregon State University. My grandson's name is Otson. There is commonality in our household.
Thank you for your testimony. We have Linda. It looks like Cuffetti. Cipetti. I'm sorry. I should be able to read that. Careful. And then we also, we don't have anyone else signed up, but I wanted to, there is somebody else signed up? All right. Is there somebody else signed
up?
Yep. Okay. Because we'll call one other person up here. Thanks.
Shall I wait?
And Rose Cook, please. Is Rose Cook here? Come on up. Welcome to the committee. Would you like to start?
Yes, thank you.
Can you start with your name, please?
Yes, Linda Cifetti. Madam Chair, and all others that are present here, and the redistricting committee, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today. Actually, Madam Chair made my point that I'm going to present, so I'll be brief, but it was very interesting, and you said it better than I'm going to say it here at the moment. But as I said, I am Linda Cifetti, and I'm a faculty member and head of the Department of Botany and Plant Pathology at Oregon State University. Because I am also a current member of the State Board of Higher Education and a former president of Oregon State University's Faculty Senate, I want to clarify that my remarks today are as a private citizen and as a research scientist. And so I'm concerned over the possible combination of the University of Oregon and Oregon State University being placed into one district. Oregon's interest to place two major research institutions together in one congressional district actually raises multiple concerns, and I'll comment on two of these today. Two voices are better than one. And so both universities would be better served when the responsibility for representing them is spread between two members of Congress. Two voices are better than one, especially when it comes to advocating for students, addressing the budgets of federal research agencies and federal appropriations. Compacting these concerns and issues into one congressional district will result in fewer elected representatives to speak on behalf of the constituent interests in the federal process. And the second point being the universities are different. The University of Oregon, and Oregon State University are distinct and different. Placing both together in the same district would require a single member of Congress to make decisions that may be viewed as favoring one university over the other. Although the two universities do share commonalities, there is no doubt on that, Oregon State University is a land, sea, space, and sun-grant university and serve the people of Oregon and their missions in a very different way than the University of Oregon. So that it is clear, in my opinion, that the universities are quite different in how they seek to serve the people of Oregon. So keeping them separate would enable both to have their voices heard. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Cook?
Yes, thank you. I didn't plan on speaking to you today, hence my attire. I've been at soccer games and outside a lot today. But I thank you for allowing me to come unprepared. I have just one small thing I want to talk to you about. I ran for House District 16 against...
Oh, if you'll start with your name.
My name is Rose Cook, and I was a candidate for House District 16. I ran opposed, of course, Mrs. Gelser. And the one thing that I really found in going door-to-door and meeting people is the constituents in Philomath are very, very different than the ones in Corvallis. And that the way that the boundaries run there, it really does carve out just Philomath and puts it in with Corvallis and leaves all of everything to the west. My husband is a self-employed logger, and so our family is very involved and very knowledgeable about everything to the west. I believe that the Philomath community has more in common with the folks to the west, which would be District 23. And I just would like for you to consider that when you are drawing your lines. I would not, I wouldn't propose that I know better than you. I just know from talking to those folks and listening to their concerns that they are much more in line to the west.
Thank you for your testimony. And Ms. Ciuffetti, I, of all people, apologize for mispronouncing your name. I should not have done that. Mi dispiace.
Yes.
Okay, questions from the panel?
Madam Chair, I'm just wondering how Oregon State's doing on the Sun Grant part of our...
Try to do better than that again.
Questions from the panel? From the committee to the panel? No questions?
I didn't plant her.
Thank you very much for your testimony. I can think of one day in recent past when Oregon and Oregon State were very much aligned, and that was on the day of the football game.
I think you probably have your name mispronounced as much as I have my name mispronounced. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. That was more of a collocation than an alignment.
What did you just say? Bully. What did you just say?
Oh, the day of the final, that when Oregon State played in the, or Oregon played in the, and the Ducks played in the final.
The national championship.
And you were rooting for them. What about it?
Is there anyone else here who would left on that note? Is there anyone else who would like to testify about redistricting or football?
Wow.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Our next hearing will be Tuesday in Salem at the state capitol, where we will be discussing the Salem area and the districts around the Salem area. We won't be back on the road, but we will be there in Salem. The hearing begins at 3:30, I believe.
Five
to eight at the state capitol on Tuesday evening. Is there any testimony I need to read into the record today?
All right, and thank you again to all of you for being here today. And, again, I'm going to highlight that there is a place where you can email testimony. That it's on the top of your page of your handout, www.leg, that's short for legislature, not leg, .state.or.us/redistricting, and it's easier to remember. Just Google Oregon State Legislature and click on the redistricting tab on the right side of the page. And thank you again for being here. And with that, I will adjourn the Senate Committee on Redistricting. Oh, sorry.
I don't know why they drew it all the way up the highway.